There are various stories in this passage that Terry read, this passage about what was happening in Acts chapter 9. And I want to focus, like I said, on this one verse. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and it grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Now, through the lens of this verse, I want to take a look at these stories and see how they relate to this title of the message, The Prospects of Peace, when we have seasons of peace. And God arranges these times of peace so that we can be free to grow and free to serve. I want to relate that this passage to those things. So God is the one that provides these special seasons of peace. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. How did that happen? Well, one way that happened was that God brought a time of peace was by going after and getting a hold of the big persecutor, the major persecutor. That's who Saul was. Saul was the one who had led in the persecution in Jerusalem, and the first Christian martyr, Stephen, had been killed in that persecution, and Saul was there in charge of that. And we say, well, look at Stephen, what he did while he was being stoned. He prayed. He prayed this prayer. What is it? What was the prayer? He said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Now, Jesus had told us that's how we're supposed to pray for our persecutors. In the Sermon on the Mount, he had said, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He had exemplified that. He gave the example of that on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. So, if we suffer wrongly, if we are in suffering and we're being persecuted in a sense, or we're suffering wrongly, we may feel like, oh, Lord, bring wrath upon those people causing the suffering. You know, that's our human response. You know, we get angry sometimes. We want justice. You know, well, God may have another purpose. He may be allowing this as a cross in our lives. Our suffering may be like a cross in our lives, where we can pray from that cross in the same way that Jesus prayed. A strategic prayer. A powerfully strategic prayer where we are seeing persecutors turned around. Well, when Stephen's prayer was answered and Saul became a Christian, Satan's use of Saul, he had been using Saul to destroy the church, was now totally reversed. It was totally in the opposite direction. And Paul began to build up the church now. Instead of tear it down, he was building up the church. And it says in verse 28, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Satan knew how blindly zealous Saul was. You know, in his spiritually blind faith, he was zealously devoted. And so when Saul's eyes were open spiritually and he saw the truth, now Satan had another problem, and that was not just the church, but this guy's going to keep building the church. He's going to be his zeal is now going to be turned to spreading Christ. So he threw all of his efforts after trying to stop this guy who was so bold, speaking so boldly in the name of Christ. And we have to remember what Jesus had prophesied to Ananias, the man who had prayed for Saul's eyes to be healed. He had gone to him and prayed in verse 16 of this same chapter, and he said to Ananias that he was going to use him to spread the gospel around the Mediterranean, but he said, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. I will show Saul that he's going to have to suffer. You know, it's what happened was now the persecutor now would be persecuted. He was the major persecutor, and now he would have a major persecution after him. Satan would be on his tail trying to get rid of him now that like he was trying to get rid of the church. So this kind of persecution began in Damascus in verse 23. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. They wanted to get him. They were after him. And then he escaped from Damascus. He went to Jerusalem. And then he began to debate, it says, with the Grecian Jews. And they tried to kill him. So it didn't help. He went to Jerusalem. He was going to be trying to... Persecution followed him there. So when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So Satan's plan backfired. Because instead of getting rid of Saul, it put Saul right where God could use him in spreading the gospel all over the Roman Empire. So Saul now became Paul. He became Paul. He was God's tool in spreading Christ, the message of Christ, all over the Mediterranean in the Roman Empire. And now the devil had his hands full out there with trying to stop this Saul guy. And so during that time, while he was trying to get reorganized so he could persecute in Palestine again, during that time the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. The big major persecutor was taken out of the way. Satan had turned his attention toward him instead of Palestine. Now they had a time of peace. And seasons of peace provide the freedom to focus on ministry. To focus on the ministry of being built up and strengthened and growing, and also the ministry of seeing the church grow numerically. As it says in this passage, the church was strengthened. It was strengthened. Conflict is a great place to test our strength. When we have times of conflict, it's a great place to test our strength, but it's not a good environment to have our strength built up and strength to grow in our strength. Imagine walking into a classroom, your first day in a classroom. You've never had any lectures, you've never read any of the material, and your teacher passes out the final exam. Now, wait a minute. You say, wait. It's not time for me to be tested. It's time for me to learn and grow and have strength so that I can take the test. Well, God does that. God allows that. Conflict may be a great place for learning what our weaknesses are. When we're challenged by a conflict, a lot of times our weaknesses are human weaknesses. They show up sometimes in a big way. So we need a rest from the conflict so that we can focus on strengthening those weaknesses so that we'll be ready the next time we go into a conflict. We'll have strength. Strength that we didn't have before the next time we faced the challenge of a conflict. So after Pentecost, after the day of Pentecost, before the time of persecution began, the infant flock of the early church, the infant flock was given a honeymoon period, a time so that they were sort of protected. They could sort of relax and grow. And they did. It says that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They were thriving under the ministry of the apostles. The persecution hadn't started yet. And you know something? I've noticed this, that new Christians, they often seem to get a special protection from the Lord. It's almost like God puts a hedge of protection around them. Satan can't get in there. And they are growing and they're having... sometimes believers are looking at these new Christians and saying, man, how come I don't get experiences like that? It seems like feels like the Lord is sometimes far away, and they say, talk like he's right next door. And it's like, yeah, new Christians sometimes are like that until they come to that time where they join us in our daily trials and tribulations and things we have to struggle with, and they are right there with us struggling. So, but God gives him this time of being built up before that happens, and he did it with Saul, because the persecution didn't start on Saul until it says after many days had gone by. Then the Jews conspired to kill him. So it's like the conflict wasn't there, and he was growing, he was getting stronger, he was beginning to preach, and he was doing it boldly. So when conflicts do flare up in our lives, they are probably not as harsh as they were in the book of Acts. There were some really harsh conflicts, although we have to say that around the world right now there are just as hard of conflicts. And I remember, I didn't mention this in the first service, but I was remembering the video I saw. And it was videotaped because they wanted to broadcast that the ISIS group had taken these men and tied them up and burned them alive. And it showed them being burned alive and the suffering they went through before they died. And you say, yes, it is still going on. There are more martyrs in the last century, and the 1900s and these 2000s. There are more people dying for the gospel in the world than there were in all the centuries before. Because persecution has not stopped. It has not stopped. So when conflicts do come, you know, even though they're not that harsh to us, and when we meet these challenges, sometimes we get ready. We're ready for a time of peace. We look forward to a part of the day where we can just say, this is my quiet time. Turn off the phone or get into some place where nobody's going to bother you and have a quiet time, a time of rest. Or you can come to church on the weekend and say, all this busy week and all the conflict, and now I can have a little hour of just getting myself built up spiritually and strengthened by the Word of God and these wonderful hymns we sing and times of prayer. And we say, I need that. And God does that for us. He gives us a time where our faith is renewed and strengthened. And this happens to be a repeating cycle in the Christian life. Strengthening, testing, or conflict. Strengthening, conflict. It's like, yeah, when's it going to end? It's not until the Lord gets back. Because Satan stayed after Paul all of his life. All the way through his life, Satan was after him. And he's going to be after us too. We're not going to get out of this. We're going to have to keep on struggling. But when God gives us that quiet time, when God arranges a time of peace, it's for growth, spiritual growth, and spiritual service. It's so that we can not squander these times, but use them to focus on the ministry that God has given us to do. And that's what it was here, a focus on ministry. And it produces the growth. It produces growth. And encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it, the church, grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. People may know about Jesus, but that doesn't mean they know Him. And it doesn't mean that they know His power. But the Holy Spirit applies God's power to make Christ known. And we are often used by God as the contact point for that ministry, that ministry of the Holy Spirit. So Peter, during his time of peace, during this time of peace, he used that time to visit the believers in the area. And it doesn't look like he had an agenda. Like, oh, I'm going to go to this town and then I'm going to do a miracle here and I'll go to that time and do it. No, no. God doesn't lead us that way. God usually leads us step by step by step until we get into the situation so that our faith can be strengthened, because that helps us to listen better to what He's showing us to do. And so Peter became that contact point for the church to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And this encouragement came in the form of two miracles. The first miracle was healing. Let's read the passage again. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now, Peter did not do this on his own. He was ministering the same way that Jesus ministered. And how did Jesus minister? Jesus did what he said, I do what I see my Father doing. I speak the words that I hear from my Father. In other words, Jesus was listening. Jesus was keeping his spiritual eyes open to see through the Holy Spirit what the Father was doing. He was a disciple of the Father. And we are a disciple of Jesus, and so we need, by the Holy Spirit, to keep our spiritual eyes open, to keep our spiritual ears open, and see what God is doing, see what Jesus is doing, see what He wants to do in this situation. So this is what was happening. Peter was only doing what he saw the Lord doing. And this, you know, this must have been an encouragement to the church. Because you see, Jesus is not done yet. They needed to know that. They needed to know that Jesus was not finished with his work. And it's like what Peter said. He said what he saw. Aeneas, Jesus is healing you right now. Really? Yeah, I'm watching it. And so he said what he saw. Jesus was healing him. And that's what we need to do. We need to be listening and we need to be seeing what the Father is doing. So this was a great encouragement to the church. And we should not be afraid when to say something or to do something that God shows us. If He chose us. If He chooses to show us something, then He must mean business. Because it means that it's very important. And in this situation, it was very important. What was the result of this one man's healing? In verse 35, it says, all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. A citywide revival because of one healing. A citywide revival. It wasn't just that a few people turned to the Lord. It says a whole city turned to the Lord. Now, that's a major work. That's a major work. A citywide revival. So then there was a second miracle. And that second miracle was even more dramatic. It was even more dramatic. Tabitha, a disciple in the town nearby, Joppa, was near Lydda. She got sick and she died. And they washed her body for burial and laid it on the floor up in the upstairs room, upper room. And then they called for Peter to come. And in verse 40, here's what it says. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and he prayed, turning toward the dead woman. He said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. What is this? It's the same story. Peter was doing what the Holy Spirit showed that Jesus was doing. He saw Jesus kneeling down and speaking to Tabitha. He saw Jesus taking Tabitha by the hand and lifting her up. You know, he was only doing what the Holy Spirit showed Jesus was doing. And what was Jesus doing? Jesus was not done yet. He saw that he was still raising people from the dead. Just like he had done when he was here before. Still raising people from the dead. What an encouragement to the church at Joppa. Because what had happened was that they had lost a valuable member of their church. That valuable member of their church was one who was always doing good, it says in verse 36. She was always doing good and helping the poor. She had a ministry. She had a ministry in the church and she was doing that ministry. And death had taken her out. Death had stopped her. And now, they stood in front of the church, alive again and ready to go back to work. Ready to go back and do her ministry. So it says in verse 43 that Peter stayed in Joppa for some time. Why did he stay in Joppa for so long? Well, same thing happened. Because he was probably teaching and baptizing new converts. Why? Because in verse 42, this miracle became known over all of Joppa, and the people believed in the Lord. Same thing that had happened in Lydda. The people saw the miracle and they said, wow, God is alive and well, and Jesus is still at work. Miracles, however, are not the point. Just having miracles, say, oh, if we could just have miracles like that. That's not the point. Sometimes there are, and we can talk about those miracles. I've seen a few in my life, but there's more miracles I've seen that are of a different sort. Jesus takes people that are paralyzed with fear and they can't move anymore in their Christian life, paralytics in a sense, spiritually paralyzed, and he sets them free so they can move again. They can get about and do what they're supposed to do. I'm not talking just about physical movement. I'm talking about spiritual ministry. And you know, Aeneas was physically paralyzed. He couldn't move. Now he was moving about, and his very body was a testimony to bring people to Christ. And so Jesus is not done yet. He's still getting paralyzed people to move again, that they're no longer held by their fears and their inhibitions. Well, we also see this when God gives us time of peace, that sometimes he wants to have us minister to those who are dead prematurely. He says, are you going to raise people from the dead? I've never raised a person from the dead. I've never seen it happen. I believe it's happened. There are places in the world in the last century where people have been raised from the dead. In fact, I've read testimonies during the Jesus film that people have been raised from the dead in some of those situations. And you say, wow, God's still working. Yes, he is. Jesus is not done yet. He's still working like that. But he often doesn't do that with us so dramatically. But because he gives us a time of peace, we automatically need to be aware that God is going to use this time where there's no conflict right now, this time of peace, so we can grow. So we can focus on our spiritual growth. And then to be listening during that time of peace. So it's nice and quiet. We can have a time of peace and we listen to what Jesus is saying to us. Listen to what Jesus is showing us he wants us to do, and then to obey. For our faith to be strengthened and for us to obey the Lord in the ministry that he has for us to do. Why? Because what the whole book of Acts is about, and what this shows us today, is this. Jesus is not done yet.
Amen.
He is not done yet. Amen. This is still the book of Acts. I'm just going to give you a preview. In the end of the book of Acts, it doesn't end. You read the book of Acts and it just stops, boom, it stops abruptly, as if it's going to keep on going. Well, guess what? It is. And today is still, we're living in the book of Acts. Jesus is not done yet. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this passage of Scripture, especially this verse. Lord, help us to know and be aware that you want to speak to us and that you want to show us what you want us to do. And help us to be open to that, just to listen to you and have hearts that are attentive, especially during these times of peace when you want us to grow and you want us to go and do ministry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.